Hey guys, welcome to another. We're in the car, I'm sure you can tell. It's a little windy today. A little bit of nature's wind bringing us down. I'm on the road, almost to my destination. That's how long it is. I think that's a nice portrait of how long it is. If these come out once a week, so now it's been 3 weeks that I've been driving, that seems about accurate to me. That seems appropriate as far as how long it takes. So I'm headed to Grand Junction's Libraries Comic-Con because they asked me to come up there and talk about some stuff, some comic book stuff, which I will do. One of the few things I'm qualified to do, so if I get the chance to do it, I do it. Now, and this is like an unpaid trip. I don't know if that's important to anybody. They're paying me. The man is going to give me $100. Because basically I was like, well, I don't want to lose money on gas just to come up there. Although I stayed a night at a hotel, so there you go. And tonight I'll be staying at a librarian's house. So we'll see what happens there. Should be interesting. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've stayed at someone else's home, let alone someone else's, that I don't really know their home. I'm trying to think, I guess I stayed at my brother's apartment a couple years ago, or I stayed at my girlfriend's house. But I think we can all agree a girlfriend is a little different than a strange man who you don't know and has a home. But I'm told it's charming. I know some people would probably be like, why would you do that? That seems like a crazy, weird thing to do, and you could just say no. Which I totally could, and probably... Here's the thing, I'm real down for stuff in the future. And then when it comes around, I'm like, no, I just want to stay home and work on stuff or do other stuff. I don't want to go. So I've kind of figured out for myself that what I need to do is make plans for myself way in advance. And as I make the plans now, I do have the awareness to be like, I'm going to be pissed I made those plans. And then... But then you do it, and you get to do stuff. I was listening to this show on the way up here, and basically one of the guys on the show said, stuff happens when you leave the house. And I think that's real true. You know, coming up this way, I don't know, because I've thought in my life, I've thought about, okay, there are some big pros to living in, a smallish mountain town, right? Just live in a trailer house in a small mountain town. If I didn't have to, commute to work and shit. If I could work out of my home and I could do that, would I prefer that or would I rather live in the big city, right? Not that I live in the big city now. I think what I've decided is that where I live now is not the best of either world. The city and the tiny mountain town both have their advantages, right? Should we just get into this? Should I just talk midlife crisis? I was talking about how I was having a midlife crisis. And that crisis is just about basically everything of my life and deciding, is this what I want to do for the next 25 years? Would I want things to stay the same for the next 25 years? Or, if someone told me that your life will be exactly the same in 25 years, would I just put a gun in my mouth? Today. Probably not today. But soon. You know, there are times, I even think about, I don't know, it's a weird good and bad thing. You know, I fucked up at work the other day, and it wasn't even a big deal, but, you know, you just think about it when you fuck up at work, and it kind of bothers you for the day or a couple days. And then I thought about getting fired, and thought about, you know, I've always thought, like, how doomed I would be if I got fired. But then every once in a while, I'm like, all right, I could, I live with a partner now. And so splitting the bills and stuff, I could go a little while without a job. My mom would always let me move back in, which isn't a great option. Not a preference. I could always have a roommate if that's what it came down to. But the point is, I felt less doomed about that than I've ever felt before. Like, almost felt like maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing. I feel like you hear a lot of these stories about these people who are like, I got fired, and that's what catalyzed me to do something that was important to me. And sometimes I wonder if that wouldn't happen. It's sort of like how I have to make these plans ahead of time, because otherwise I won't do them. It's like, yeah, I mean, maybe I'm comfortable enough that it's like, whatever. But if I made a change, maybe that would be a really good effect. I don't know. This is hard to know. Life is difficult, guys. It's difficult to know what's right and what to do. So, yeah, I thought a lot about it. In every aspect, too. You know, because, okay, think about it like this. I mean, here's the typical trajectory, right? Or, like, what we're told is the right thing to do as an American. You finish high school. That's a good thing to do. Probably that one I'm not going to argue with. I think people probably should finish high school. I mean, they'll always tell you, like, oh, yeah, well, fucking Michael Moore and Penn Jillette didn't finish high school or something, and you're like, yeah. But, I mean, let's look at all the people in the United States who didn't finish high school and see what percent of those are Michael Moore and, what's his name, Sean Penn Jillette. Not going to be good, right? And, like, I don't know, I know this isn't a new perspective, but I do feel pretty strongly. I agree with this idea that you should probably go to high school, because even if you're not learning from your classes, I think you're learning how to get along in the world. Like, you're learning how to go to work and have someone tell you what to do, and basically you're not always going to be in charge of your life and the choices that are made. And I guess you could just abandon that and be like, fuck it, I am going to be that way, which is awesome for you, but I don't know. I don't suggest it. I think you should probably go to some kind of a public school at some point in your life. It just seems like what are you going to do? Are you going to make fucking artisan chairs in your Amish community for the rest of your life? No. Because I'm going to be pissed off when I come into Subway and you're there and you don't even know the basics of getting along with a human. That's going to be a problem. So that's step one. That's like step one to becoming a real adult. Step two, you go to college and you live in a dorm and you party and you do all that shit. Which, I don't know, people probably should do that too. Well, I don't know. I think people should go to college because it gets you a little bit away from the house or whatever if you have a shitty life or if you have a life you don't like. But, you know, I didn't do that, so I don't know. I mean, I went to college, but I lived at home most of the time until I moved out into an apartment that was, you know, a mile away from my house. So, you know, sometimes I think, man, I should have really done it and, like, lived in the dorm and shit like that. But I don't know, I lived in the dorm, and I just wasn't a party guy, and also I was working and stuff. Like, I was working two part-time jobs, which is fine, but it didn't work out for me very well. And I was busy having a girlfriend, which was a third part-time job at the time, because she lived 45 minutes away. But, you know, these are the first two things, and, like, I don't know, I think college is kind of, well, it's funny because, you know, you play that game, the game of life, like the board game, and you could always choose to go to college or not, and I never went to college because I was like, why would I go to college? I can start earning $30,000 this year, Or I can go to college for 4 years and start earning $45,000 4 years from now and also have, you know, $20,000 in debt. Because that's what I gotta tell you, like, grad school. I think grad school might be a scam. Because it's not that I didn't learn anything, but the amount that I paid and then the amount that I make are not aligned. Like, school, how come school hasn't figured this out? Why does it cost the same for me to get this degree, where I have basically no chance to earn money, and then this other degree, where I actually have a pretty good chance of earning money, that costs the same? How does that work? You know, I did all this school to get a job that basically makes the same as, like, a... I make, like, what a teacher does who has a master's degree, right? So it's, like, pretty close to that, except they also get the summers off and, like, 2 weeks at Christmas. And are they working on a Sunday? You know, they can. And they, a lot of them do, the dedicated whatever. But come on. You would never have to work on a Sunday. That's absolutely not going to happen. And, you know, they have better benefits than I do for the most part. But anyway, not complaining about that. I'm just saying, this is like the typical life trajectory, right? High school, college, maybe more college or a job. And then you start working this job. I was thinking about this, too, because I was on LinkedIn, you know, which is the Facebook for, I don't know, marketing? Again, what a scam. I always like to point out when I see a marketing thing that I think is total bullshit. I heard something recently that I think is probably true, although I have no way to prove it. But I don't know if you've noticed, but YouTube has changed. So what it does is it automatically starts playing the next video. So rather than playing a video and then it stops, it starts just playing the next video immediately. And why would it do that? Why would anyone want that, you might be asking? Especially when it seems like if you look up something, half the time, it's the same fucking video, or it's something that's, you know, totally unrelated, or who knows. And what I heard is, this is a marketing scheme. Because then what happens is, okay, well now YouTube can basically double their views, their quote-unquote clicks onto different videos. Because here's what happens. I watched the video I actually went there for, and then it immediately clicks over to the next video. That tracks it as one click on that next video. So then when YouTube is getting their advertisers all set up, they're like, oh, check this shit out. Look how many clicks we have on our website. Look how many a day we have. And then obviously that's a big fucking scam, because if you really looked at it, you'd say, well, that's, you know... What percent of these, I mean, are 20% of these just because people fucking left their computer on? I mean, what if I left my computer on overnight and it's just going and going? And I know that's not going to be a big difference in the YouTube scheme, but, like, how many people could do that? And how much of a difference would it make if how many people did it? Right? So it's like, again, a marketing scandal, but no one's going to pay attention. By the way, YouTube. Ever been something more ruined by marketing than YouTube? Like, how nice was it for those, like, I don't know, probably 8 months when you could get on there and see just about anything, and there were no ads? The only things that had ads were, like, official music videos. Like, if you watched Christina Aguilera's music video, you had to watch a dumb fucking ad. Which, fine. I don't care. I don't care about that. But... I don't know. Now, any video you watch, any fucking idiot who puts a video on, they're just like, oh yeah, I'm going to enable the ads because I'm going to make 10 cents this year. What if I go viral? What if my video of my dumb kid doing something dumb goes totes viral? I'll be really mad I didn't enable those ads. And then other people copy the video and put up their own version of the video, also with ads. Which, that's... also horrible. I don't know if it's worse, but it's really fucking annoying. If you're gonna copy someone's video and rip it off, at least put it up with no ads. So I could sort of enjoy, like, oh, well, there's sort of a you're like Robin Hooding that shit. I guess I'm kind of okay with that in a weird way. So I was on the LinkedIn, which is the stupidest thing. I don't understand. I mean, is anyone doing... I had to make a LinkedIn one time for a job. Basically, that's what they wanted. Well, they wanted a resume, too, which defeats the whole point. It's like, I want a resume and a LinkedIn, which is your resume in Facebook format. Okay, that makes sense. That's a very reasonable thing to ask for, sir or madam. I'll do that for you. So I was on there, and I saw this guy. I don't know how I saw him, but it was this guy I went to college with, and we had, like, poetry classes together. And he was a very vexing figure in these poetry classes, because he wrote this, like... He was, like, this real hippie guy. You know what I mean? Like, barefoot a lot, and, like, you know, always stoned as fuck. And he would read these poems that were just, like, language poetry. So it's like, just close your eyes and listen to the beauty of the words and shit. And I just couldn't ever... I had the hardest time when we'd have to do our, like, writer critiques or whatever. Because I was like, I have a hard time because there's, like, nothing for me to grab onto. Which was a nice way, you know, I said it a little nicer than that even. And it was a nice way of me being like, this is just a bunch of words. And it seems like you just dropped fucking acid and then wrote down whatever words showed up in your brain. And, like, how much feedback do you want for that? Like, are you going to change that? Because these are the words that showed up in your acid brain, right? So do you really even want to change it, or is that what it is now? It kind of seems like that's just what it is. So I saw him on LinkedIn, you know, and now he's like a marketing consultant, and he's in a suit, and he's got like a gelled shitty hair, and, you know, now he's a professional man. And I was just like, this is what happens. This is growing up. Like, there's kind of a weird, I think, I have a weird feeling, you know, this, again, crisis on midlife, on Middle Earth of life. Like, part of this crisis, I think, is this idea of growing up. Because part of me hates, part of me doesn't want to grow up in some ways, and part of me desperately thinks I should grow up in other ways. You know, like, I went to a comic book store, right? And, like, it doesn't bother me to go to a comic book store. That's not a problem for me, and it doesn't bother me that other people do it. But, like, I'm in the comic book store, and the guy who works at the comic store that I went to is, like, the worst guy. Like, let me give some tips if you're going to open your own comic book store, okay? Most people who come into your comic book store are looking to buy shit from you. So I'm not saying you have to be like a fake nice asshole guy. But what I would like is if you didn't treat it like I came into your basement and was looking through your stuff and then going to make you an offer on it. That's advice number one. Like, be sort of personable. Like, when there's a alarm thing on the door and it's like, bing bong, and I come in and there's nobody in there, and you're way across the room sitting at the counter, you could look up and just, like, wave. You don't have to even say, like, hey, what are you looking for? Let me help you. You could just fucking wave your stupid hand, and then I'll wave to you, and then if I need something, I'll come over. But, you know, you could pretend like you've noticed other human beings are alive. That would be my number one tip, is for comic book store. Number two, yeah, it's not your secret she-man woman-hater clubhouse. You can't just, like, fill the walls with weird shit and then just have piles of crap everywhere and just make the place terrible. And then expect people to be like, oh, I feel very comfortable here. I mean, some people feel comfortable there. The nerds who come and buy all the shit all the time and who sit in your place and play fucking Magic the Gathering for 10 hours. I'm sure they feel pretty comfy. But nobody new is going to come in when they're like, this place smells like a comic book store. I'm staying out. So, like, you don't have to treat it. It is a business. That's the thing. When you run a comic book store, and this is why there was, like, a great comic book store collapse, like, in the 90s. Because I think everyone and their mom opened a fucking comic book store. Because comic books, I don't know when this was, like, early 90s, around the heyday of Image Comics and Spawn. Everyone kind of felt like this is where the money's at. Look at, I have a Spawn number one. Anything that was a number one, you know, or a foil cover or some shit like that. Holograms. Let's make 10 different versions of this issue, you know. Issue number one will have one. Issue number two will have two covers. Issue number three will have three. And we'll just go all the way up to 100. And, like, everyone thought this is where the cash was at. And it was, very briefly, but then, of course, you know, there's, like, two things that make something valuable. Number one is scarcity, or the perception of scarcity. But so when you're printing a billion number ones, they're really not that scarce. And the second thing is people actually want the thing. So you could be printing, like, the first trailblazing issue of some brand new comic, and that's great. But if it's a fucking horrible book, nobody's gonna want it. And that's the thing. That aftermarket thing is like, no one's gonna want this shit, so forget it. Never mind. Never you mind. But, yeah, and I think that, but comic book people, it's sort of like, I wish that Gordon Ramsay was a comic book guy, and his show Kitchen Nightmares was on in the 90s, because he'd be running around comic book stores, and all the comic book store people, it's like when you watch Kitchen Nightmares, and he's like, why'd you open a restaurant? And they're like, I just thought it would be fun. You know, and it's just every shitty restaurant, you're like, I wonder why this restaurant is so horrible. And you're like, oh, because the owner just sits and drinks wine at the bar all night. And this is his idea of owning a restaurant. And then he's like, in a horrible office cave filled with weird papers, looking and being like, my numbers are terrible. We got to bring in $3,000 in the next hour or we're closed. Right? Come on. This is why, and this is what the comic book stores needed. They needed him to come in, spruce the place up a little bit, be like, look, the books have prices on them. People can tell how much the books cost. How about that? How about you don't bag and board your comics and then go by the Overstreet price guide? If you're going to give me the Overstreet price guide price, I don't even get that out. Don't even get that book out, my friend. You just go fuck yourself, okay? Because I don't want to know. If you want to get your books graded by the Comics Books Grading Company or whatever that thing is called, then go for it, and then you can price me. But until then, fuck yourself. Okay, so anyway, growing up. All right, so then after college is probably like the marriage time, right? That's when you kind of get your career and your romance together. And that's part of my crisis, I guess, is the career is definitely in crisis. Peter's career is in crisis. I don't know if it's... I don't want to just, like, talk shit about where I work. Most of the people I work with are very nice. And it's fine. It's satisfactory. But... I don't leave work feeling like energized. You know, things happen at work that just make me think, hey, this doesn't seem right. Or like, I don't think these people are behaving properly. And, it's annoying. And just a waste. Like if people knew how their money was wasted by some government entities, they would lose their fucking shit. And I wouldn't blame them. It's funny because you'll hear about this stuff. Like, people will say, oh my god, this is such a waste, or that's such a waste. And I'm like, that's nothing. Like, you have no idea what a waste looks like. You know, oh, we got to be responsible for taxpayer dollars, so we can't do this thing that benefits them, but we could, you know, just have snacks before every meeting. That's fine. How is that fine? Like, who authorizes that? And who says that's cool? You know, okay, like, we have a staff day every year, right? And every year, people are like, why can't we go just do something that's enjoyable instead of basically having a day of class? And, you know, which is a totally legit thing, too, because it's a team-building thing. But also, you know, we have these classes we do. And, it's fine, except you consider, like, the people who are there. Okay, there's regular staff, which is cool. I mean, they'll probably get something out of it if it's good. But then you've got, like, accountants. And you've got janitors. And you've got, you know, IT professionals. And basically we're offering, like, two choices for them, which really have nothing to do with their jobs. Like, as an IT professional at these, I don't know how they don't lose their fucking minds. So I'd be like, this doesn't really relate to anything I do. I mean, I don't know. Do I really need to go to... Like, what am I doing here? This isn't enriching my ability to perform my job. Or, like, I'd be better off just working. And everyone would be better off if I just worked. So, like... But, you know, when we suggest something like, let's just do a team-building activity that's kind of fun, it's like, well, we gotta be conscious of the fact that we're using taxpayer dollars. It's like, okay, well... Alright then. As long as it doesn't look like a waste, I guess it's fine. You know, if it is a waste but doesn't look like it, that's better than if it's not a waste but it looks like a waste. That seems to be the thing. These are just some of the many gripes. And also, I think that I just am looking for a little more freedom in work to do. I feel like I know what's good and what's right, and I'm not in a position to make decisions about that in my career, and that's really frustrating. So there you go. That's my job thing. Also, I do feel at my work they abuse the idea a little bit of, like, hey, you're doing a great public service, which is true, but I don't think your employer should get to, like, point that out to you. Like, I think, yeah, I'm doing that. I picked this job, but that doesn't mean you can, you know, pay me less money. You're like, well, we don't have to pay them as much money because they're doing, you know, they get these soft skills and they get these other benefits that are sort of unspoken. I don't really agree with that. It's like teachers, like, you don't pay them enough. And you don't have to, because people will keep being teachers because it's an important job, you know, and they want to do it. But you're like, just because somebody will do this, and just because somebody cares about this enough to do it for little money, doesn't mean you don't have to pay them, or that you shouldn't, or that it's like, eh, we could cut a little bit, we cut 5%, and that'll be fine. Okay. So, I mean, work-wise, it's just a little bit, I get a lot more out of the things that I do for myself and the things that I do, like, on this and writing things and stuff like that. Like, those I enjoy a lot more. And I found, you know, even in the little, you know, doing the little freelance stuff and working with Tom, writing and stuff, like, I can communicate with those people. They trust me to make some decisions, and then they help me make other decisions or call me out when I make a horrible decision, right? But, you know, for the most part, they're like, you know what you're doing. We hired you because you know what you're doing. So do what you do. You know, we're just here to double check and make sure it's not fucking crazy town. But other than that, go for it. You know, if you want to write a column that has the word fuck in it, that's fine. Because we're grown-ups here. If you want to write a story where something crazy happens, that's fine, as long as you can pull it off. And I don't know, maybe that's part of it too. I think part of the thing that is hard for me about my job is it's like this weird adult, non-adult world that you have to live in. Because everything has to be appropriate for families, right? And that limits what you can do. You know, like somebody was outraged because on our Facebook, someone posted a thing that said WTF, and they were like, did you know the F stands for the F word? You can't just put that on there. This is a family-friendly Facebook or something. And I'm like, oh, who cares? What is a kid going to do? Kid's going to fucking melt if he hears the word fuck. If a kid heard one episode of this show, they would be melted and steamed away. And that would be the end of them. It's just so... And I know you have to be professional. And I guess that's the thing, is I just don't see... I don't see the professionalism there as being something that's important to me. It's not important to me that my boss never says fuck. Or that, you know, our communication is so bland and professional that it's not communication at all, because there's no voice. This is really rambly. Let's move on. Let's talk about love. Love life. I recently moved in with my girlfriend and her cat. It's going fine. I was telling her the other day, like, moving in together, I was worried about stuff. And honestly, we haven't had, like, what I would call relationship problems at all. Because basically, I think we've both been so busy doing other shit. And, like, we were spending probably 4 nights a week together. So it's not super different. It's not, like, way crazy different than it was. I do miss some of my time to myself, but not crazily. But I don't know, like, the more I think about, like, she was asking me the other night, do you think you'll ever want to be married? And she was not asking to marry me, by the way. At one point, she was telling me, I don't know how this came up in conversation, but she was telling me how she wouldn't really want me to propose marriage to her at this point. Like, she's happy where things are and the speed at which things are progressing. And doesn't really want another level of change. And I was like, that's cool. I get it. And, like, I feel the same way. But she was asking me the other night, like, do I think that that's something that's on the table for me? Because, you know, her friends, she's a little younger. So she's in this phase of life that many of us have gone through where all of a sudden, all your friends are getting married and buying houses and having babies, because this is the thing. This is what you do. And I don't know. I think I don't want to speak for her too much. I think she's having like a little thing of like, I don't know if that's what I want or not, you know. And for her, it doesn't seem as much crisis-y, which makes sense because she just finished school and she's got a good job and that's going well. But yeah, I don't know. She asked me that and I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to get married. I mean, I don't specifically, I don't have anything against marriage. I'm not like, oh, this is an archaic institution and whatever. I kind of summed it all up because I was like, honestly, I don't feel like I have license or anything to cheat on my girlfriend because we're not married. Like, that's not a thing for me. I don't feel like, oh, well, we're not married, so it's not serious. Like, I take it seriously. It doesn't change my behavior, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. It would make me think more about, like, well, this is the future now. But at the same time, I don't know that that's a necessary thing for me. Or that it's, like, something that... I don't know if I need that lockdown in order to behave or feel differently. And also, I mean, it's just kind of an illusion anyway, because, I mean, so many fucking people get divorced. It's not like a marriage. All it does is make breaking up really hard. But it doesn't make it like, well, now we're together forever. It's more like, well, at the point we got married, we decided we wanted to be together forever. And, but that's still an ongoing decision for the rest of our lives, because there's always the option to get out. So in that way, I think it's, I just don't understand. And then I do kind of have a real problem with the idea of the wedding. Like, I don't think I want to have a wedding. I mean, I could have, like, a party event. And this is the thing, is, like, I think everyone says this, and then they get to the wedding, and then they're like, well, okay, I want to have, I don't need to have a wedding, but I do need to have this, this, and that. And then you just slowly add wedding elements until you're like, yeah, we're having a fucking wedding. Here it is. But, I mean, I can't afford that shit. And I don't really want to buy that. Like, that's a weird thing to buy. I don't understand it. I don't like jewelry. I don't know. Like, the weddings I've been to are just so... I mean, sometimes they're fun. But they're not as fun as how much they cost. Let's put it that way. I've had as much fun... doing similar, basically being drunk and dancing around. I've had that much fun at a lot of things that costs a lot less money. I don't know, it's mostly cost for me. I have been thinking a lot about, you know, how destination wedding is such a good idea. Because before I thought, no, that sucks, because then whatever. But now, when I think about it, I'm like, destination wedding is like the smartest thing ever. Because then you can invite whoever you want, and no one's gonna fucking come. You know, like, you get rid of all those issues of, like, should I invite my boss? Should I invite my, aunt who I never see or something? Like, you just, yeah, you're like, hey, if you wanna come, come on down. Now, we are gonna be two states away. Like, I don't even think it matters if your destination wedding is, like, at an actual destination, like, somewhere people want to go. I'm just saying it's good to be not 2 miles away from where you live, or, like, a half hour away from where you live. It's good to be a plane ride away. Then people come, and then you're like, good, this is a self-selecting thing. We worked it out. Right? But, yeah, that's wedding. I don't know. I would much prefer, I think, like, a backyard-style wedding. And I don't give a fuck about religion. Like, I don't know if I could handle, like, getting married in a church. Or, like, a reverend talking. Because I just feel like every wedding, they always have that. They have, like, the reverend guy say some shit. And I'm like, did you even talk to these people before this? Did you, like, do you know anything about their values? Because I think that what you're saying is craziness and has nothing to do with anything I've ever heard either of these people say. Is it just because, is someone's dad paying for this? Is that why? And he wants it? Somebody's mom? Anyway. So I don't know. Like, weddings, I'm just not sure. I don't know how I feel about that. But the other thing with a wedding is, you know, it's not like one person's choice, right? It's a couple's choice. Like, if your wife or your to-be wife or your partner really wanted a wedding, what are you going to do? You can't just be like, oh, fuck that shit. Fuck you. I don't know. You'd have to probably have a wedding. So let's talk about, let's talk about pets and then get into kids. I know people with kids really hate it when you compare pets to kids, and I can understand why, because I understand the stakes are very different. Like, I live with a cat now, and it's got its pluses and minuses, and I feel like a sociopath, because I don't really connect with pets very well, which is, I think, something I've always felt, but now I'm only really figuring out. Like, I just don't... It's hard for me to see pets as anything other than, like, obligation. and they're nice and they're cute and they're fun, but the level of obligation and work is pretty high for that. Like, you know, the return on investment is high when it comes to a pet and what you put into a pet. And see, I know this makes me sound like an unfeeling asshole. And I promise you I'm not. Like, I promise you that I get joy out of having the pets and all that. But man, if I lived by myself the rest of my life, I think the chance that I would own a pet is pretty much zero. Because the amount of cleaning that needs to be done after the pets is, like, a lot. And, you know, the maintenance required by a pet is high. And that's how it is. I guess I could get a lizard, but then why even have, like, I don't understand why people even have a snake. You just have a snake live in your house. You're like, I just wanted to take this thing that lives around, but I want it to live in my house, in this little cube that we've created out of glass, because when it's curled up in a cube inside my house, I feel differently about myself and life. Like, this is why I guess I don't understand the snake. Like, I understand, I think, what people get out of cats and dogs and why they love them and why they see them as companions or partners of some kind. I don't feel that way, is what I'm saying. And it's nothing against any particular animal. I just don't feel it. Like, it doesn't happen for me. And maybe someday. But, you know, right now I'm like, I don't know, man. I think I'm a pile of allergies. I don't like cleaning this much. And it's like another thing to have to do. And here's the thing. You know, as we transition into would I ever want to have kids. Like, the pets are tough. But let's be honest, if a pet just dies, you don't have to go to the police or the hospital, you know? And when you have a pet, even a long-term pet like a cat, I mean, they live for like fucking, I don't know, 15 years or some shit. It's long. That's a long-ass time. But, you know, it's not, when you have a kid, that kid's gonna outlive you. This is the rest of your life. You have just made a decision or not made a decision, and that's going to be the rest of your life. You know, this car just passed me and then slowed way down. And there's, like, no other cars around. I don't know what the fuck this idiot's doing. People are the worst, man. They don't know what they're doing. Like, why? There's no cars around. They passed me, going at a good clip, got in front of me, and then just slowed way down, and I had to, like, hit my brakes pretty hard. What a dildo. But, you know, and the pets. Like, you put out a bowl of food, and then that's it. You don't have to worry about their diet. And, you know, the pets, like, you can make a decision. I mean, most people don't do it this way, but hey, when you take your pet, inevitably they're going to be like, oh my god, well, he's going to need this surgery, and it's going to be $5,000. And with a pet, you could look at your life and be like, well, I don't have it. Or you can look at a pet and be like, well, this guinea pig's going to need this surgery. However, he's probably 4/5 through his natural life. And really, he's had a good life. I don't know. I could do it, but I don't have to. Like, there's a lot less obligation. If you get tired of your pet, you can just put an ad on Craigslist and get fucking rid of him. You can. You can't do that with your kid. Like, that does not work. So let's talk about, like, do I want to have a kid? And this is another, you know, crisis, because... And my line with kids has always been this. For the last little while, it's been this. Like, if I had to decide today, if I had to have a kid today or never, I would pick never. If those were my two options, that's what I would select. So do I want to say I'll never have a kid? No. Because I don't know. Like, I might change my mind on things. I've been known to change a mind here and there, changing hearts, winning hearts even. But do I want to have a kid now? And the answer is no. And here's why. I see it as like a two-pronged attack of guilt on myself. Because number one, I know that if I had a kid, I wouldn't have time to do all these things that I enjoy doing so much. And like, again, it's kind of, this is how it all kind of comes together. Because I feel like, well, I go to work and I don't really find a lot of joy there. I come home and, you know, that's going fine, but it's not like, the things that make me happy, I think I really feel like I have to put a lot of work and effort into. It doesn't happen. I'm not going to be happy if I just kind of am surviving. Like, that's never going to make me happy. I have to be doing something. And, like, raising a kid, I think I would feel like I was going to work to have just enough money and time to scrape by and keep this kid alive and for another year, right? And, like, you go to work enough, and then you save a little bit of money, but then, you know, then you need a new car. And you pay off your student loans, but by then you need a new car. Or you pay off this credit card, but then you need a new water heater. You know, all this shit. And that's just kind of becomes your life. Is like, well, here's the things I need, and so I have to stay with what I'm doing. And the other thing is, I would then feel guilty on top of that because I would feel bad about feeling that way. Like, I would feel guilty as a human for being like, ugh, having kids is a pile of obligations. That would make me feel like a dick, even though I know I would feel that way sometimes. But then when I felt that way, I'd be down on myself for feeling that way, and that just makes it all worse. So I kind of just see it as being like a real problem for me. I was thinking the other day, how great would the world be? Like, how much different would things be if the default setting for humans is like, you hit puberty and you're able to have babies, right? Like, physically, biologically. How great would it be if humans were, as a default, not have babies? And basically, you had to get, like, a vasectomy in order to have babies. Like, we were all born vasectomied, and then you had to be de-vasectomied to have babies. Like, it was a conscious choice. Like, how different would the world be if that was the way it worked, right? Or you just had to do something. It could just be some kind of ritual or some kind of whatever. But basically, if you just had to have some kind of, like, I am going to, now babies are a thing, that would be so weird and different, and I think better. And I wish that's how it was. I was also talking to my coworkers about, like, where the fuck's male birth control, right? Like, where's male birth control? And they were giving me kind of the classic lines of, like, oh, well, this is, like, a way that men control women. Because, like, you know, then it's like, well, women have to stick around with the baby and the men don't. And, like, women have to, you know, behave themselves and men don't. Like, that's how it works. Which I totally understand where they're coming from. But, like, I don't think that's really true anymore in the way that it once was. And honestly, I don't understand why there's no male birth control, because, like, that to me seems to be even more license for men to not behave. Like, we're getting into an era now where you can't just have a baby and then disappear and whatever. Like, you'll have to pay money. And I know that's not the same as raising a kid, but it's not like you could just be a rambling man having babies across the country. And it's like, well, I don't know, he sold fucking vacuum cleaners and now he's gone, and we'll never find him. It's like, no, we'll find him and garnish his wages. That's a thing, right? Like, this is not an unheard of thing. And also, I think that growing up, I mean, I guess I knew a lot of responsible people, but, like, I feel like everyone I knew would sort of be relieved, especially, like, high school age, to be like, oh, I'm on the male birth control pill, so no worries. Right? Like, wouldn't that be a relief to people? I would be really excited about that. It needs to happen. Because to me, here's the thing. I think that, like, female birth control is, like, a very empowering thing because it lets you make a decision about whether or not you want to have a baby. And it lets people separate sex from procreation, which is a good thing to do, in my opinion, because we don't need that many babies, right? However, like, where's the male version? Like, there should be a male version. And don't tell me condoms. Those things are horrible and they don't work. They're dumb. Condoms are dumb. They're great for, stopping disease, preventing disease. But birth control-wise, I don't know, man. Are they like a B-minus, probably? You know, and they say like 1 in 100 fails. Well, if you date someone for like a couple years, you've certainly had sex 100 times. So chances are it's going to fail once. And then how does that line up with the cycles and shit? Like, you could be fucked even if you're doing it right. It's just not as good. It's not as good as it could be. But, I don't know. I don't know about kids, man. And it is a struggle. It is a weird thing. You know, you get some pressure from, I don't know, my family's not horribly pressuring, but there's some pressure there. There's some pressure. I have, like, no desire to sort of pass on my genetic legacy or something. Like, I have no, that's not in my head. And then I actually just feel like I'd make a horrible father because I have all these other things that I want to do with my life. And every time I looked at my kid, I think I'd be thinking, well, this is good. This is all good. But man, this is like the personification of all that stuff that I'm not going to do and never get to do. Like, it can't happen. And that's a horrible burden for a child. I mean, to be like, oh, hey, son. Yeah, remember when you killed your father's dreams? Yeah, I do. I know you don't remember because you were just a baby, but I remember. But, and this is not, none of this is a condemnation of other people's having babies either. I got no problem with that. Like, if you want to have a baby, go for it. I don't give a shit. I mean, please take care of your baby. Please take care of your child. Jesus Christ, don't be an idiot with your kid. You know what, like, the one thing I'd like to ask of parents who have kids is, like, the one thing I'd like to return to is, I feel like, sometime when I was a kid this happened, and I don't think it was a good thing, is like, okay, during the day, a bar and grill, and you can bring kids in there. Like, every restaurant is kid-friendly. I was just in a restaurant, like a nicer restaurant last night, and they had a sign up that was like, we welcome your well-behaved children. Which I was like, that's such a, like, throwback and weird thing to say, but I'm into that. Because I'm into that where it's like, hey, if your kids aren't assholes and they can behave in a restaurant, they can stay. But if they can't, no. I feel like the world has become everything needs to be accessible to kids, and I don't understand why. I mean, there's the classics of, like, do your kids need to come to the movie theater? Like, you know when your kid's ready for the movie? You know, take them to a fucking movie in the middle of the day on a Tuesday and try it out. But honestly, until your kid can sit still and watch a movie for 2 hours, then don't take him to the movies. Because that just ruins it for everybody. If your kid can't sit at the table for like an hour, or I don't know, 45 minutes, make good restaurant choices. Okay? Make understandable restaurant choices. I just like, I don't know, I don't feel like every place needs to be kid-friendly or work for kids, and I don't, you know how it's like, we moved into this house, right? And there are like certain hallmarks of living in a sort of ghetto area that people don't talk about as much because they're not sure things, but if they happen, it's a sure thing you're in the ghetto. I'll give you a couple examples. One of them is, you know, I'm out front, like, cleaning the porch, and a guy is riding by on, like, a, you know, a tiny BMX bike that's his primary transportation. And as he's going by on the sidewalk, he, like, turns around, and he's still riding. He doesn't stop. But he turns around and asks me if I want to buy some batteries. And he, like, just keeps going away because, you know, I think even he's like, why would this person want to buy batteries from a guy riding by on a bicycle? Like, no, I think I'll get my fucking batteries from, like, anywhere else, any other place. I wouldn't even know what to negotiate as a price for street batteries. I mean, obviously they gotta be cheaper, right? And, like, what am I gonna do? Question how he came into... Did you just steal a pack of batteries to sell and make a couple bucks? I mean, come on. Why would I get involved in this? So that's number one. The other one, though, is, like, I feel like children in ghetto areas, like, their parents don't have a concept of it's time to go to bed, or not even like it's time to go to bed, but it's time to be like inside the house, not playing outside middle of the day games. I shit you not, I'm driving home the other night. This is a Wednesday night, middle of the week, and there's an apartment building next to us, and there are three little kids outside in the dark, and you know, it's 10 p.m. on a weeknight. These kids are fucking like 2, 3, and 4. These are little kids. They are out playing in the dark, like on tricycles, riding around, running around like it's the middle of the day. And I just feel like, no. Okay? No. This can't happen. Like, this isn't okay. Different cultures do things differently. Different socioeconomic statuses consider things differently. Like, I've heard this. All right. Perfect example. One time, I heard someone talking about why, when you go to Walmart at midnight, do you see little kids there? And a lot of times it's because they're... And a lot of times it is non-white kids and their non-white parents, right? What's up with that? Why do people think it's okay to bring their kids to Walmart at midnight? And the explanation I heard for that was someone kind of said, well, they value family, and also a lot of these people work super long hours. So sometimes the only time they get to see their kids is super late at night. And so it might not be ideal in some ways for the kids and for the parents, but this is what, you know, it's not good, and I don't think it's a good situation or a good solution, but I can appreciate that if you're with your kids at Walmart at midnight, because you want to be around your kids, like, that's something I can at least look at that and feel like, well, you're coming from a good place. You know, you've got a good-hearted idea going, I guess, right? That feels like something to me. But yeah, I don't know. I just, Oh, okay. So here's the other thing, though. Like, these kids are out. It's not like their parents are with them. Hanging out, right? Down the street, the little kids gonna get hit by my car. Like, they're just out there by themselves. There's no parents around. You're like, what are you doing? You're just like, go out and play. It's 10 at night. I don't understand. It's a living in the ghetto thing. I just punched my microphone. That's the one other, like, midlife crisis thing, I think, is the idea of owning a home. So we moved into a place, and it's much larger, although there's two of us. And, like, it was my idea to get a two-bedroom place, because I was like, I don't know, man, I think I'd like to have, like, my own space a little bit, which is cool. But now, I look at this, and I'm, like, a little freaked out by the size of our place. and the amount of chores it represents and the amount of work it represents. And in the backyard, so there's like a backyard. We share it with the neighbors, but it's just dirt. There's no grass. And my girlfriend really wants to put grass in. And I just feel like I don't want to spend the time to put grass in or to water grass. And I sure as hell don't want to buy a lawnmower and mow the grass. And when we moved in, the landlord was like, oh, yeah, you guys could feel free to plant grass and stuff back here if you want. And I was like, oh, yeah, you could feel free to go fuck yourself. Are you kidding? You can feel free to plant grass back here if you want. Wow, what a kind, that's very kind. So you mean you're not attached to the current aesthetic of just dirt, a dirt backyard. That's not a sticking point for you? Wow, cool. Not even an offer of like, hey, if you buy supplies to plant grass back here, I'll knock it off the rent. Even that, at least I'd be like, well, all right, there's some mutual benefit there, right? There's some level of, okay, that's a thing. No, just if you want to take the time and improve this property that you're renting for a year, then here's how you could. I will give you permission to do that. Oh, thank you. Jeez. I've never in my life have I felt so taken care of by another human being. And like, I guess that's the thing, is I see so many house things as just one thing after another. And like, I miss the simplicity of living in my studio apartment. Like, I did not think when I moved in there that I would miss that. And when I moved in there, was kind of like, God, dude, I kind of hate, like, this is the whole thing of growing up versus not growing up is encapsulated with that, I think. Because when I moved in there, I felt like this is like what someone in college should be living in. You know, this is not where someone who's worked at the same job for 10 years and is making a career should be here. And it made me feel shitty about my job and my life and all that stuff. But I actually really grew to like it because I realized living there, like, you know what I'm not doing? Yard work. You know what I'm not doing? Painting. You know what I'm not doing? Remodeling a bathroom. You know what I'm not doing? Anything with my house. I clean it, I keep it tidy, and that's it. That's all there is to do. There is nothing else that I could do if I wanted to, right? And I really liked that. That's what I discovered, is that I really liked the simplicity of coming home and basically having no options. You know, I can't buy more furniture. I don't need more furniture, but I couldn't get more furniture if I wanted it because there's nowhere for it to go. And I was so surprised, but man, I loved it. That's what I liked. Like, I liked living that way. It made me very happy. And so it makes me really question, like, do I care at all about owning a home? Like, I've become less and less sure that I want to own a home in my lifetime. Which is, like, another thing that's so hard to say out loud. Because, you know, it's not like I'm unhappy where I am currently. And, like, I think our place now is a good size for us. But you know, I drive by houses, or when I go running, I look at houses a lot. And I see, like, every house has, like, a fucking huge basement in it. That I'm like, what would I even put in there? And why do we need this basement, you know? Or, like, every house has, like, a weird attic space that I'm like, that's just going to be something that I'm always thinking about and never doing anything with or to, right? And, I don't know. And, you know, I've thought a lot about tiny houses and stuff. And, like, could I live in a trailer? And, well, here's the thing. I require electricity. That's a thing. And, I would strongly prefer to have indoor plumbing. Like, regular, a flush toilet would be great. So these are kind of, like, requirements, quote-unquote, that I have. That, you know, I'm just not sure that I can meet. with these things. But I did have kind of a thing the other day. So I was like, okay, but what if someone told you you could retire at age 38 and never work again if you had to have a composting toilet at home? Would that be worth it to you? And I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, I think so. Do I think it'd be worth it to cast off 8 hours of work a day to have a, you know, less convenient bathroom? Yeah, actually, I kind of do. Like, I think that would probably be a good exchange for me. And that's kind of what you're talking about when you talk about, like, a tiny home or living in a trailer or something is like, well, you get rid of a lot of convenience, but man, you get rid of a lot of cost. Like, I was seriously considering trying to live in a van before I moved into my studio place, because I was like, all right, think about this. If you lived in a van for a year, and there would be some inconveniences, but, you know, I have a gym where I could shower, and I have a work where I could shower, and do all that shit. There would be some inconvenience, but over the course of the year, you would save, like, $6,000 just on rent. Just on rent. And you'd probably save a lot more money because every time it came down to, like, buying a thing, you'd be like, I probably shouldn't. I probably shouldn't buy that thing, right? Like, I don't think I should buy anything ever again. Because I live in a van. Now, here's the problem, is you have to tell people, I live in a van. It's like, yeah, right. You are, Mr. Vincent Van Gogh. I would insert a clapping noise there if I could. But I don't know. I guess that's the crisis, is I'm like, what do I really want out of life? Like, what am I looking for out of this life? What is valuable to me? What would I give up in order to get more freedom, you know, or more time, or more space, or less space, or less obligation, or more obligation? Like, balancing all these things, it seems like a big to-do anymore. And I don't really know what to do. I'm adrift. I'm a lost and adrift. But maybe I'll figure it out one of these days. Who the fuck knows, man? It's getting difficult out here. Are you guys in midlife crises? Is it everybody else just like, did you guys know? I feel like no one knows what the fuck they're doing. I don't know. Maybe the crisis, summed up in a simple way, is like, I think that I don't have a problem of not knowing what makes me happy. I think it's just the problem of balancing what makes me happy with reality. And doing the things that make me happy and not doing other things. And trying to minimize as much as possible the things that aren't the things that make me happy. Like, kind of fucking with that ratio until I get it to the point that it all works. And then I don't know. I don't know what I'll talk about on this show anymore. I'll just be like, well, I'm in my trailer. It's very hot. That would be a downside. Jesus Christ. Okay. That's enough. That's enough. Crisis. That's for fucking sure. Oh, I also, real quick, I don't know if this is crisis related. You know, every so often I think, how could I make a little more cash? What can I do to make just a little more money? Because then I feel like I'm really tied in by my student loan. Like, that's my big bill that won't change no matter what I do. And, so I think a lot about how I might be able to change that or reduce that or get rid of it altogether. And one of the ideas I had was, what if you started a Craigslist business and all you did was you discreetly deep cleaned bathrooms for people, for businesses. So you'd be like, hey, you've got a bathroom. It's dirty. I deep clean that shit. I come before or after hours. I just clean the crap out of it. I do as much as I can with normal cleaning. And then you've got your bathroom back. You know, you win your life back. What do I get? Money. What do you get? Your life back, sir. I don't know. Would people hire that, like an unknown? Here's why I think that, like a restaurant owner especially would. Because when you work at you work at McDonald's. When I worked at McDonald's, every so often, someone was assigned to clean the bathroom. But you know, you're like, I was flipping hamburgers and next I'm going to be making fries. And how much do I care if this bathroom is clean? And the other thing is, you know, if you go in there and do a crappy job, there's about a 10% chance that someone's actually going to check your work. And even if they check your work and find it totally unacceptable, the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to be like, no, you need to actually clean this. So the worst consequence of not cleaning is then you just have to do the original job anyway. So it's really not that bad. So you're like, well, I'm going to fucking try to not clean and not clean. Every restaurant has someone cleaning. They don't usually have a janitor, right? Or they don't have one person who cleans the bathroom. Because if you have one person, here's the good thing about having a janitor or one person who's in charge of that shit. Then they care. Like, if I'm going to be cleaning this bathroom today, tomorrow, and for the rest of my life, it's worth my time to do a better job. Because if I do a good job, that means I have less to do tomorrow. You know, if things are relatively clean at the beginning of the day, and I can just keep it that way. But that's not how it works. So I wondered if someone would hire me and if they would pay like a large amount, you know, if they'd pay me like $60 an hour, let's say, to clean bathrooms. And I'd be like, cash only. I come in, I'm like the wolf from fucking Pulp Fiction. You got a problem? Yo, I'll solve it. Check out my cleaning while the toilet's revolving. The water in the toilet. I don't know. This is the point of my life where I'm just like, maybe I'll just clean bathrooms a lot. This is my life now. Where these are my ideas. Like my get rich quick scheme has become a get not in debt slowly by cleaning bathrooms. Real, hold on tight to your dreams, as Yellow would say. All right. I'll talk to you next time.